And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 8th, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode 8. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. How you doing? If you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. That's our website, ingamechat.net. Email address, everyone at in-game chat. I mean, it's all there for you to look at. It's where you can watch us on the cam or on Twitch right now. Go to twitch.tv, and you can find us there by searching for in-game chat. If you just go to our website, scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a link directly to it, along with a link to, I believe, our Discord, which you can join in there live while we broadcast as well. All right. Sign clapping time.
Clap, clap.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, game over.
No. Held on for the last shot. Yep.
We were watching a basketball game, and it was coming down to, it was already in overtime, and so it was coming down to the last, and we're just like, is it going to finish before we start? And it just finished.
Yep.
So.
Wish you could have watched it from beginning to end.
That's a close one, man.
Yeah.
93-91. That is close.
In-state rivalry game, too, so yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's the other reason we're looking at that. For those of you unaware, it's an in-state rivalry here with Auburn-Alabama basketball. Auburn currently number one, and Alabama currently number seven. Number seven just being number one. There you go. Which I don't think that's going to phase number one at all, but... Selection for the tournament stuff, that's next weekend, I think. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, I believe. So, all right, welcome into the show, everybody. RJ, what have you played since we last spoke to you?
Well, it's been more of the same, except for a little bit more of a Balatro. I'm still trying to get that yellow deck, but I don't think I got above anti five on that one. Really didn't have a good RNG for Joker selections on the last one I did anyway. So I'll let that go.
I can hear in your voice. I can hear what you say. Let that go.
Yep.
Just gave up that ghost. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, look, there's been too many times when you've got on a roll and all of a sudden you know it's not going to go well for you. So you just let it go. Get it the next time. Right.
Right. Yeah.
A little bit more the same with VFI First Ascendant, MLB The Show, things of that nature. I did see a new... DLC and going into Grand Theft Auto Online, the Olivares Flies Again, basically some air smuggling cargo mission type thing, kind of similar to what happens in the Cluck and Bell farm raids. Mm-hmm. That get you like $500,000 every time you run through it, and I think the first run through it you get you probably get the same amount, 500,000, but I think if you play it on hard mode you get 750,000. And I believe it's a repeatable job to do. So if you need some cash, just run that mission over and over again. It shouldn't be like maybe about an hour the first time you run it. But if you get used to the things and what you have to do, you probably cut that down to like 40 minutes per run. Just let the clock reset and do it again. And
you said let the clock reset. How long is the timer on the clock for you to redo the mission?
Well, on the Cluck and Bell, I think it's about 30, 40 minutes.
It's not something where you complete the mission and then you can drive back to the start of the mission and start it again. You have to wait.
You got to wait a little bit before you do it again. Yeah.
Understood.
So, yeah. So it won't be abusable or things
true.
Like that.
I mean, yeah, there is that.
Yeah. So,
but if you're only waiting like 30, 45 minutes, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. You could do something else.
Exactly. You could work on another heist while you're working on. So you could jump, I guess, jump through the cluck and then do whatever this, what was this one called? Fly?
Oliveris Flies Again.
Yeah. Run this one. As you're waiting for the timer to click down, run the clucker.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time that's done, you should be able to jump back over and just ping pong between the two.
Yeah, and if not, just do another heist. There's tons of heists available.
Yeah,
so you can do. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff to do in that game that'll keep you occupied. So yeah, you have that. And I did check out the PlayStation Store because of the March free games we were talking about the other day. So
I got to pick those up.
I did pick up Sonic Colors and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection. So I got those in my library.
Okay,
and I've got that going.
I got to do that. I gotta add those to my library. I think I can do that online.
Mm-hmm.
And I will look into doing that.
You can probably between. Do that through,
Yeah, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
So.
I was still trying to do that, start downloading something through that PlayStation app, but I've never been able to. And I got it in rest mode. Or do you have to have the console
on or something like that? Yeah, my 5's in a it's in a rest state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little orange glow on the thing to let me know that, hey, I'm on, but I'm not really on.
Yeah, low power consumption mode, but you can still download stuff. So I thought I could do that from the app, but I think I've tried that like twice, and it never went through. Hmm. So I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or I don't have the settings right or something, but that is convenient to get that thing, to have that thing start downloading stuff because some DLCs are ridiculously long.
Yeah.
Like 10, 11 hours or something like that. So I'll have to start it early.
I'll have to sign into the website, and I'm just not. I've got all my 2-factor authentication. I'm just not ready to run through that. I can do it later.
Yeah,
I can do it. I can do it another time.
Hey,
so.
You got time.
I got the whole month to do it, and trust me, I will not forget. Because I mean, I've already forgotten once, but I will not forget again. Because Dragon Age is available in that. Veilguard is available.
Yeah,
in that one. That was one of those big surprises. Yeah.
Yeah, for the PS5
that we had for it. So. Mm-hmm. I'll eventually get around to that. What else?
No, that's pretty much it. Been pretty much more of the same this week, except those few things here and there.
I've been playing, Marvel Snap, obviously, and did I run through demos last Sunday? Man, I don't even remember. No, I remember what happened last Sunday. Last Sunday, I played Marvel Snap, and I had one bounty. It was the end of the season, and I had one bounty left to finish all my bounties for my season and everything else. I had one thing I had to do, and I had to do it 3 times, and that was win all 3 locations in a game 3 times. So I got to have at least. First off, the way the game works is you win. There's 3 locations, and if you can win 2 of those locations, you win the game. You know? So the way you build your card decks to battle these things is, I can build most decks, and almost all of them are not built to win 3 lanes. You know, you're not built to win 3 lanes. You're built to win at least 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. Now, some card locations where you're playing can have different abilities to make the other locations show the same score, things like that. There's ways that can happen, but it was an hourly slog to get these 3 things done. That was it. Now, I was taking care of other bounties, which I had wrapped up pretty early on, and this one was just annoying. Now, I can retreat. If I'm winning all 3 locations, I can back out of the game after turn 3, and if I'm still winning all 3 locations anytime after turn 3, I'll still take credit for it. Even though I've lost the game because I've conceded the match, it still says I won all 3 locations in a game. Never had that opportunity. I had one opportunity to come up earlier in a game before it would count if I were to retreat, but luckily the other player retreated. And I had all 3 locations won, and it's like, okay, that's great. That's 1 down, 2 to go, and it was just a slog to get those last 2. Normally,
you feel the grind on that one,
it
right?
really was. Yeah. And normally, seasons last 4 weeks, sometimes 5 weeks, depends. It's length of a month type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you get a bounty like that maybe 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in, not the last one of the last section. Like, you got plenty of time to kind of just accidentally win all three when they give you that bounty earlier in a season.
Mm-hmm.
But on the last day of the last, you know, the last season, the last day, that sort of thing, it was really annoying. Very, very annoying. And it took me all day. I finally finished it, and then I wanted to play a bunch of other things. I wanted to jump into demos from Steam Next Fest going on or anything like that. And I was just slogged out. That was it. I'd spent so much time doing that. I was brain numb. And so I ended up just playing Avowed for a little while. Mm. Avowed is clicking on me. Avowed is starting to click with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to put it. It's not amazing, you know. It's not one of those, this is the best thing type, you know. It's not something I'm going to be here like, man, you guys got to play Avowed. It's really cool. I'm not going to be a cheerleader for this game.
Be great.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
top of the line, but it's serviceable enough to give you entertainment when it needs to.
Yeah, and I haven't looked into it. If it was co-opable, that'd be great, but I don't believe it is. Because if you could get a good party of people going through this, it actually might be a little fun. But as it stands, it's still fun, especially if you role-play into this thing, and I think that's really what Obsidian wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Obsidian has really done well with the games that they've made for the most part, especially when it comes to your RPG-type stuff. If you really role play into this, you know, and go in with that mindset of I am this character, how does this character react to things? How does this character answer these questions? How does this character respond? You know, keep whatever that is that you've built your character as. And I don't necessarily mean the class that you've built your character. Is he a warrior? Is he a rogue? Is he a wizard? A mage? You know, anything like that. I just mean the ideals that you have given your character.
Mm-hmm.
Is he somebody that goes in there and is ruthless with everyone? Lives by the law, not the law of the land, but lives by the law of whatever, and says that, you know, nope, you're wrong. Regardless of how whatever else is going on with you, you're wrong. I'm turning you in, or I'm taking you out, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Or are you kind of, you know, are you forgiving? Are you? It's just you play to your style. I absolutely love that about it. I haven't always played it to that style. Sometimes I'm playing it as how I would play it, rather than sort of putting myself in the shoes of the character that I've created and the backstory that they have given my character. Because your character does have a bit of a backstory. And it's your decision to either follow along with that backstory if you want to, and you're given multiple opportunities to not do that. You can set your own path if you want to. But yeah, it's an RPG. It's just like that. You're role-playing and you're having conversations. You're making decisions that will impact later missions or the way other people experience you, whatever the case may be. The way your party looks at you. Your party's full of NPCs, but, you know, you can't really do anything. You can interact with them and talk to them, and you battle with them, and you help them, and that sort of thing. But making decisions that kind of go against their ideology as well will have a narrower, you know, will have a worse outlook for you.
So it's like what happens in Fallout 4.
Well, yeah. Well, Obsidian did Fallout New Vegas, right? I believe they did.
I don't know, but I remember in Fallout 4 that decisions you make, depending on who you were traveling with, that would have a reaction to what you did. You see something up in the upper left corner that immediately told you Burke didn't like that,
mm-hmm.
or Strong didn't like that, or someone loved this, or something like, you know.
Yeah, none of that has popped up. Now, when you finish certain missions or when certain story beats happen,
mm-hmm.
your companions will have a chat bubble near them, and the next time you go to your camp is when you can have a conversation with them in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
To where you guys discuss what just happened, or, you know, you can bank them as well. I've gone through a bunch of different missions before and then gotten back to the camp, started a conversation about something we did, finished that conversation, then turned around and initiated the conversation again, and it moves into the next part of what he wanted to talk to me about, mm-hmm. based on another mission that we had done and completed. And so, yeah, like today, I helped out a family. There was this couple who were trying to escape the island, and they had gotten into some bad stuff, and I was able to help them out, and I didn't turn them in or anything. I was able to help them get to where they needed to go. But I had the option. It gave me the... Once I had finished what I had done, I had the option to return to them and help them out, or turn them in to the authorities if I wanted to. When I was talking to the people who had... they were smugglers, and they were going to help them get out of the area, but they had increased their price for whatever reason. It's something in the lore, not the lore, but it was something in that quest conversation. Mm-hmm. The smugglers had said, no, we're going to increase, you know, you're going to pay us more if this is what you want to do. They had amended the deal that they had with the other people. And so I had options throughout the conversation with the smugglers to either make them honor the deal originally, which would probably not work out too well. We'd probably end up in a battle, maybe, or...
Oh, that's a fight.
Yeah, you know. And there was an option to just outright say, nah, never mind, and just attack, you know, and actually just start fighting them if you want to. And there was the option to just pay the fee to cover them and be done with it, which is exactly what I did. I was like, here, you take the money. You're out here trying to make whatever. Go ahead, take the money, as long as you're going to help these people. And that's the way it was. Now, my party companion later on at the camp, when I talked to him, he was, you know, really glad to see you did what you did there. I'm glad, you know, and you have this conversation back and forth with that. Mm-hmm. And I guess it increases their trust with you or their whatever it does. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I've only got the one party member so far. I haven't run into anybody else. I'm still in the first area. The first area is very large. When I pull up the map, there's a lot there, and honestly, I thought, oh, this is the whole thing, and then I realized, no, that's the map of Dawnshore. Let's go to the Living Lands map, and once you go to the Living Lands map, Dawnshore becomes very, very small, and the Living Lands has a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, and that's what I figured, because I would, you know, I'd read things, and somebody in the chat room last week said, oh, I'm in Area 2 or 3. I'm like, oh, I wonder what that means. That must be further into the map that I'm on. You know, no. What that means is they're in Area 2 of the much larger map. They're in that second area or that third area. I am still in Area 1. So, and there's a lot to do in Area 1, and I guess that's kind of how I'm playing it, which is like, you know what, we're going to wrap up as much as I can here in Area 1, get that done, move on to Area 2, you know.
I'm guessing you're going to be there a while.
It's one of those types of games. But it's also... Yeah, you've got to deal with your weight management, which sounds funny. But yeah, because you're going to want to pick up every single thing you come across, because
mm-hmm.
it's good for something, whether it be good for food that you can sell later or that you can eat later and for health, or whether it's something that's going to go into upgrading equipment or enchanting equipment or something like that. There's a lot of...
Did you drop stuff?
Oh, yeah, you can drop stuff if you want
discard,
to.
Discard, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can totally discard. But, you know, you got a weight limit. Of course, you can also put skill points, and there's also different pieces of armor have, you know, side effects to them. So not only is this protecting me, but it's also adding a bonus to how much I can carry.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's adding a bonus to how fast I can evade or how easily I can sneak. So, you know, it comes with bonuses here, whether it be the gloves, the chest piece, the... pants, the shoes, you know, all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
Even little amulets or rings that you put on a hand could have, like, oh, you can carry 15% more in your stash and not be weighted down, not be encumbered, you know?
So it's Skyrim.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
But prettier.
Yeah, yeah. It's... Oh, God, is it pretty.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest problem with it, is the fact that on PC, there's still no HDR. I've come across some really good-looking vistas and things like that, and there absolutely is no HDR. It still looks good, but the fact that we've got it on our consoles, console versions, but not the PC version, really, really screws me over. Matt sent me a message saying, what game are y'all talking about right now? We are talking about Avowed. which is on Game Pass. If you got it, PC Game Pass, it's on there. So, it's a new game from Obsidian, which is set in the Pillars of Eternity universe, by the way, just so you know. Anyway, I'm really enjoying it. The story does keep opening up. I like the fact that it's not too detailed in its RPG-ness. In other words, I can't friendly fire on my party, which is nice, because there can be confusion at times. What happened last time? I caught one of my party members on fire by accident, and I can't remember how I did that.
AoE spell?
Well, I'm wondering, and it might have been,
or you threw a firebomb?
I'm thinking it's something that I don't remember. But see, I'm going back now, and I'm in my head, and I remember using a fire spell, which basically is like a flamethrower.
Maybe you hit something that was flammable. Or something.
It exploded him. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe. I believe that was it. That or he got caught in a grenade as well or something like that. I believe that was it. No, you're absolutely right. It wasn't due to me, or at least it wasn't me directly doing it. It was a side effect of me like lighting something and exploded on fire, and he got caught in it. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's a red barrel. It's the first time I've seen a red barrel. I bet it explodes. Let me shoot something and see if it does. Boom. Oh, you were too close, you know. And he got whatever, which is fine. That's the other thing. I can come to their aid, you know, if they get attacked too bad in battle, I can come to their aid and revive them.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be me handing them health potions to revive. I just revive them. The health potions are my own. The stamina potions are my own. All the different things, they're mine. I don't have to give them to any of my party members for them to...
There's no cost in picking
health
someone up.
Right, yeah. Well, I think the people you pick up is story-based.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to come across them. And again, it is a situation where you do come across somebody who may or may not join your party, depending on how the conversation goes and depending on how you've been holding yourself through the game prior. Because they can absolutely hear of your... whatever it is you've been doing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not well regarded or liked or whatever, they may not join your party.
Yeah.
There are consequences in that regard, but I haven't come across them yet personally. I saw somebody today on the Avowed subreddit post an achievement that only like 3.3% of people had. And it's one where you've basically aligned, because of the choices that you've made and the deeds that you've done, you've aligned yourself with the main enemy of the game. The main enemy of the game will still attack you, even though you may have aligned yourself with them by the choices you've made.
Mm-hmm.
You are still the bad guy to them. But because of the way you've handled yourself through everything else, there was an achievement where you are basically... It said the decisions and actions that you have made have aligned with the main faction enemy or whatever. But what I noticed was like only 3.3% of players had gotten that. It was a very rare achievement to get because most people aren't playing that way, or at least that hardcore or that fast. Maybe I'm not sure.
They want all the achievements, and they've got to get that one. So there you go.
Yeah,
it has to be. It must be intentional.
Oh wow, Thar6 says he's got a 0.4% achievement. If you can tell me what that is, Thar, without spoiling it in the chat room, I don't know what I should go look, but I don't know what the achievement would be and how you got it. And likely, I think you're in section 2 or 3, so likely you telling me right now probably wouldn't spoil it. I'd probably be more confused than I would have any idea of what you're talking about. So I do like it, though. I like the combat aspect. I like, I'm rolling an arcane wizard, so a very knowledgeable... A really smart Harry Potter. But what I've noticed, at least in the first area, or the first section, as you call it, Thar6, what I've noticed, because I have gone the wizard route, and yeah, I got my wand and my spell book, and I got my stuff I can do, but most of the things that I've come across, again, early in the game, most of the things I've come across really don't... benefit that playstyle. In this first area, I guess, I've come across more melee weapons than anything else. Yeah, I've come across bow and arrows, pistols, rifles, but most of the time, it's daggers, axes, shields, two-handed assault weapons, you know, axes and things like that, mallets, whatever, hammers.
Mm-hmm.
So more and more, it feels like they want me to play more melee than they do wizard.
It's you said there are rods in the game and wands?
Wands, yeah.
No rods?
Rods? No rods? No staffs? No, no.
No staff, okay.
Yeah, just
disappointing.
I say that. That's what I've come across.
Mm-hmm.
There could be.
Yeah.
I've only come across the common wand and the common hammer.
Yes, yeah. I think about rods and wands. I think about with Phantasy Star Online, because those are basically... You can basically modify those to be hard-hitting melee weapons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two smacks and a fire spell afterwards as a finisher, something like that.
Yeah, I had a really good axe that applied an ice debuff whenever I would use it on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer I would hold down that action to swing that axe, the more it would build up to apply that slowdown mechanic to the point that I would freeze them.
Mm-hmm.
And once they were frozen, my party mate could either shoot them or I could hit them with the wand blast and they'd burst.
Mm-hmm.
Bears. There's a lot of bears you have to fight. I don't like fighting bears. Not because they have anything to do with animals. They're just really tough to fight.
Well, you got them Elden Ring bears.
Oh, man. They say bear cubs, man, but they're big. They're big bears. And there's always a bigger bear, you know, around the smaller bears. But yeah.
Yeah.
Thar6 says, keep the uniques. It's the only one. They're the only ones that could be upgraded to legendary. Yeah, this axe that I found, it was gold, I guess. The description aura around description, it was gold.
Yeah.
I found another two-handed melee weapon just this morning that was also gold. I've got a chest plate, I think, that's gold as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe a ring or an amulet or something that's also gold.
So gold is the ultimate tier?
So far that I've found was, what, gray or blue is your...
Gray, blue, green, purple.
Yeah, gold. Commons.
That.
Purple's up there, but obviously I think gold is higher than that. I don't know that it goes any higher.
Purple in games like this is usually somewhere near the top, and then it's like gold or something.
Very, very rare, legendary.
Top. Yeah, and something above that would be either like... some diamond glistening or pearlescent looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that in Borderlands before and other games of that nature. They're tiers to all the stuff that you
there
get.
Is.
But yeah.
And you can kind of see in some of the chests that you have to open or some of the chests you come across to open, most of them are glowing, have a blue tint to them, so you know you're getting something out of there. But sometimes you'll see purple. Sometimes you'll see a brownish, reddish hue to it, which is the gold, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that aspect to it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I said, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it kind of throws away some of the tedious aspects, like friendly fire. I don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to worry about handing over potions. You know, make sure I've got enough for not just me, but for my team in case they go down in battle. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about that. You know, they've taken out some of that. Fast travel is available.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of points of fast travel, at least on the first section of the map. So when I get somewhere to complete task A, that's at one end of the map. And as soon as you complete task A, the next step is return to the person that gave you the quest. Well, they're all the way back on the other half of the map, which is nice that I can just zip right over and do it that way.
So, but what about the cost of fast travel that you have to?
There's no cost.
No, I mean, discovering the thing first before you can.
You
fast
do
travel.
Have to discover before you do it. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So
it seems like they've just taken out the some of the more the tedious aspects, the little micromanaging things of,
right.
Of that. Similar to what happens in New Vegas. You want to play hardcore, where you got to micromanage everything, or the simplified version of it.
Which so I'm playing on the default difficulty on this. I know they have a higher difficulty. I don't know what that would do. RPG mechanics wise,
right.
I imagine it obviously you know, makes enemies hit harder and take more damage.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it does anything as far as your character is concerned to how much you can carry. Does it limit you in that? Or I don't know, you know, other things. Does it reduce the amount of health potions that you have or that you can carry or that, you know, it's one of those things.
Mm.
There's the other thing. So Thar6 mentioned this. Certain areas on the when you're walking around and exploring, you'll come across one of the pillars of eternity, one of those big stone pillar type things. And it's at those points that you can set up a camp. When you set up camp, it goes nighttime, and this is when you can upgrade your items, drop stuff off in a camp stash that you can come back to later if you want to.
Storage.
You can, yeah, exactly. You can enchant items. You can have conversations with your party mates. Of course, I've only got one at the moment. And so there's a lot of that you can do. The best part is that when you exit that, you can either exit back to where you fast traveled to that area from or to another part of the map, or you can exit that specific area. In other words, it'll go back to daylight and you'll be right there where your camp is that you just exited from. You know what I mean?
Time skip.
I say time skip, but so far I haven't been timed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't run into a situation where, hey, do this before day three, you know, and then and that my days are counting. Thar, let me ask you a question, Thar, since you've been playing this, and we're going to go to break after this, and you can answer in the chat room, but is there any way to travel at night? Because I know when I set up camp, it changes from day to night. But as soon as I exit camp, regardless of where I go, it goes back from night to day. And it seems like I can't just walk around at night. There is no day-night cycle, by the way.
Okay, I was about to say maybe it's something like an implied sleep for the night thing, and then you move out in the morning.
Well, see, because they don't care. They're not micromanaging your sleep and all this other stuff, so it doesn't matter. I've never slept in the,
but
what I'm saying?
But no night scenes.
Only when you're at camp. Only in this small little area in that camp is it it's always at night. He says not necessary, no. So I guess it's not necessary to travel at night. They only want you at daytime, I guess. I don't know. I really like it at night. It's really pretty and quiet and nice, but again, no HDR.
Maybe the exploring parts of night happens in the other areas of the game, just not in that one. Maybe.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, still too early for me to tell. But
but a game of that size and scale, as you're describing, it would be odd to not have nighttime battles or scenes or anything for that matter. Just only at the camp?
It's possible some missions may...
Like, you got to have a stealth mission in there. And I can't... But a stealth mission shouldn't take place during the day. So.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, you may have missions where it's like when you accept this mission and they're like, well, you can only go in at night.
Yeah.
And so when you do this, it switches everything to night, but it probably locks you into place of where you're at rather than kind of let you get out of there and go do whatever you want. I'm not sure. He says there is a cycle, but he's not sure what triggers it. You can't choose it. It just happens. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's quest bound. Maybe it's story bound. In other words, maybe later on in the story, we're doing most of our things at night. I don't know. So, anyway.
You'll find out eventually.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I really am. I like the fact that it is not trying to have me manage every little thing.
This ain't New Vegas.
Managing the weight is enough, to be honest with you, because I am someone that wants to pick up everything.
Yeah.
I really, really do.
So you caught it playing New Vegas, didn't you?
Well, I didn't play New Vegas.
You didn't play New Vegas? Okay, you wouldn't like it then, because when you have to manage the weight of your bullets. look at all this ammo. I'm ready for anything. Oh, you got too much ammo. You might have to put some of that back.
Uh-huh. Well. Then you got to decide, what do I want more than ammo? What's less valuable than ammo?
If I'm not mistaken, you have to break it up. You have to dismantle it for the weight to not affect you that way, but you got to put it back together.
And then you got to craft it again.
You got to craft or something, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will jump into some news here, and I don't know if, I don't think I have any avowed news in there, but we'll get to it. Got music here from Star Wars Outlaws. Yeah, we're in September of last year now, when going back through the, hey, these are more recent games than our classics. Yeah, Star Wars Outlaws, this is Empire versus Outlaw. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. That is music from Harry Potter. Actually, it's from Quidditch Champions. It's the main theme for that game. Came out in September. Anyway, welcome back into the show. Let's go over the news here. See what we got. Monster Hunter Wilds, boy, that game was tempting me again. It's one of those things where you see a bunch of people playing it, you know? You see your Steam list or your, you know, whatever it is, and it's just a lot of people playing the game, and you're like, you know, maybe, and I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I did that with Monster Hunter Worlds, but...
Same thing.
You know exactly how that went. That was... fun for a little bit, but it's just much, much better with other players. When you try it solo, the tedium of a monster hunt, it got to me, and it just wasn't for me. But I can honestly say I gave Monster Hunter and that format a shot. It just wasn't for me.
That is my thought on it as well, is that, look, I tried you out, and even though I know you keep coming back with another game, I've played your style.
Call of Duty.
And I'm
the same
I'm good.
Type of game every year, over and over and over again. But if it's not for you, number six ain't gonna do it for you. But I gave it a shot. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I know the fans of that series are having a grand old time.
It became Steam's fifth most played game ever with nearly 1.4 million peak player count. That was on PC, Monster Hunter Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
That is no joke, pretty impressive for that game. I knew it had a fan base. I did not know that it had that big of a fan base that was... And regardless of the fan base, you still got to be doing something good in order to keep 1.4... I mean, if it had released with a buggy mess on PC, that number wouldn't nearly be as large as what we're saying. You wouldn't have the 1.4 million. So not only do you have to be something people want to play, you got to run good on PC in order to do it. And that doesn't mean it's got to be the best of the best on a PC. It means it needs to be optimized enough that it runs really good on a bunch of different PCs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe it is. I really haven't followed that aspect of it as far as how it runs on PC. But with 1.4 million people... I think it's all right. I think it's doing fine. So, we got Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 official announcements earlier this week. Here's a weird thing. I've never played a Tony Hawk Skater game.
I played a couple years back. Now they're fun to play.
I feel like I may have rented the first one. And just it didn't click with me. Or what skate game was I really playing? What year were we talking about? I don't remember. I know that it was Jet Set Radio Future, which is not really a skater game, but, you know, it's still...
Rollerblades, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's more of a rollerblade
thing. Stunts and tricks on things like that.
What was that other skate game? Was it Skate?
There was Skate.
Because I remember playing Skate and Skate 2 and Skate 3, I think.
Yeah. Skate was the title, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I played those.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got into Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Mm-hmm.
Never got into that. And I want to say there was another skate game, but I can't remember what it was called.
All I can say is SSX, but that was snowboarding and things of that nature.
Yeah, I think it was something else. I mean, there was the old NES game, 720.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The arcade Skate or Die.
There was Skate or Die as well.
Yeah, could never get that turning mechanism down right.
Yeah, what do we have on this one? The upcoming combined remake will feature new skaters, as well as new tricks, a new soundtrack, and brand new parks for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know any current skaters.
So I know a lot of people who played Tony Hawk games, and they're going to be fine with this being released. They're already fine with Pro Skater 1 and 2 being remastered.
Yeah.
The game will also boast cross-platform online multiplayer for up to 8 skaters. So, if you're a fan of this, this is going to be great for when it comes out. Mm-hmm. It is, what are we looking at? If you're interested in getting your hands, you can pre-order now. There's a demo coming in June. When's the game come out? Oh, there it is. July 11th is when we're getting those games. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. It's one game, but it comes with Pro Skater 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. It will also be on Game Pass Ultimate and Game Pass PC. So,
any other July releases that you can think of that's been in the reports?
I don't know. What are we getting in July? July video game releases. Okay. Well, that says that's March. I don't want March release dates. Ooh, we get Assassin's Creed this month, don't we? There's May, there's June, there's July. No, not a lot. July shows two games. Tony Hawk on the 11th. And Tales of the Shire, a Lord of the Rings game on July 29th. That is the... Everybody relates everything to Animal Crossing and those type of games, but that's what it is. It's just Animal Crossing, but you're playing as hobbits in a shire.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all for now.
Yeah.
Like, the closer you... The more recent you get, like, if you start backing it up going into June, May, April, the lists start getting longer and longer because we know what's being released.
Yeah.
For instance, what day is it right now? March 7th. All right, March 11th, we have Rise of the Ronin. That's going to be a PC release. That's coming out Tuesday. So is Wanderstop, which is also a PC release, and PS5. Dungeons of Hinterberg on PS5. On the 13th, on the 14th, MLB The Show. 25.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the premium edition. March 18th is the standard edition.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Shadows on March 20th. Wreckfest 2 early access on March 20th. Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition comes out on March 20th. What else do we have? Atom Fall on March 27th. Yeah. In Zoe on March 28th. That's on PC. So, those are your March releases.
Yeah.
The big ones out of that are going to be, well, the big one out of that is Assassin's Creed.
I'll wait and see.
Assassin's Creed Shadows, anyway.
Yeah, we'll wait and see how that hits on day
one. Yeah, I'm hearing some good things from previews and whatnot, but it really takes a... As far as Assassin's Creed concerns, it really takes a release for us to get there. Like, you can preview it and have really great previews, but it really takes release. It really takes being in the people's hands who are playing it to have the... It's like a Sonic game, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
Just watch YouTube and Twitch, folks.
Yeah.
When it comes to their releases, yeah.
It doesn't matter what they say about a Sonic game before release. It needs to be in the players' hands, needs to be in the community's hands, the fandom's hands first before you can get a read on, like, good, bad, where does it sit, you know?
Well, you have to get the sponsored streamers as opposed to the real
I don't even look at the streamers. I mean, I go to forums and subreddits and things like that to find out, like, what are just regular people talking about this game? Are they enjoying it?
Yeah.
Are they not? Where does the fandom sit? And then, and I'm not saying that I judge based on the fandom of things, but you can get a better idea. If these people are fans of this franchise and they're not liking the game, it's not great, you know? If they're loving the game, well, that's good, but you still need to hedge your bets because you have to remember they're fans. There's possible bias.
Yeah.
So it's an odd thing because
So it's a shilling bias and true true assessment of the titles that you have to sift through.
Yeah,
with all
definitely.
The folks out there. So yeah,
you have to remember where you're getting your information from.
Yeah.
How are you getting the judgment
more,
of this?
And the more you get, the better the
in
the
a sense,
better, the better the picture will be for
you. Yeah. Exactly. Because you're going to get more of, you know, it's one of those things where if you just went on previews alone, this game looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then you'd be awfully disappointed, possibly, when you get the game and you're thinking, well, where was all the amazing stuff they were talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they were brought in for a preview session. And I'm sure they're legit, but you also have to understand, yeah, they were brought in for a preview session. Mm-hmm. And they disclosed that they were, but that doesn't necessarily mean that stuff didn't happen even though they disclosed it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not calling anybody out on this. You just have to keep things in perspective when you are making the decision to buy a $60 or $70 game. Spending $60 or $70, it's not a
Veilguard.
Yeah, it's not one of, well, yeah, exactly. Except, you know, there are certain games that we will, without question. Is it 60? 70? Did you bump it up to 90? That's okay, I'm still going to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what it is, you know? I love my Myst games, so if they were to do something like that, it's like, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I love my Burnouts. I love, you know.
I love my MLB The Show.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, what is that? That's on the 18th, and then 2 days later is Assassin's Creed on the 20th. So anyway, we're coming up here on a break, but that's what your releases are for the month of March.
Mm-hmm.
April, is there anything that sticks out in April? Let me look. South of Midnight on April the 8th. That I'm kind of interested in. Same company, Compulsion Games, that did Contrast. They're doing South of Midnight. It'll be on Game Pass, both PC and console. It's an Xbox title because they bought the company. So that'll be the only way to play it. Looks really great. It's a single-player type, you know, story-driven game. Not something where you've got to tie into the internet to do whatever. It's just you and the game, that's it. Story player, single player.
One-time run and that's it?
Seemingly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the game yet, but seemingly it's just like, you just play through it and enjoy the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What else do we have that might be interesting? And I'm only going on me, really, that might be interested. What do we have? Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves.
Mm. Yeah. They did that's the one that had the beta test a few weeks ago. Yeah.
So I'm throwing that out there because of you.
Yeah.
Claire Obscure, Expedition 33. I saw some previews for that. That's on April 24th. The remaster of Days Gone is on April 25th. I think I'm going to end it there because... Yeah, May, the only thing I'm seeing here so far is Dune Awakening on PC and... Ooh, Doom the Dark Ages in May as well.
Is that the Medieval Doom?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's probably also my one and done. Run through it. Onimusha 2, Samurai's Destiny on May 23rd.
Remake.
Doesn't seem like it. It doesn't say remake, obviously, but...
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I remember Onimusha.
Elden Ring Nightreign on May 30th. That's the expand-alone.
Well, I guess I'll be looking for the one that comes with Shadow of the Erdtree because I never picked up the DLC for that
right.
one.
Right.
So.
You'll want to get the Shadow of the Erdtree along with... I don't know that they'll bundle them. They may. I don't know.
They might, but there's something to keep a lookout on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, look for, yeah.
All right. When we come back, we will jump into more of our stories that we've accumulated over the week. Tales of the Shire looks like the one game of the genre I might be. I know. I'm kind of right there with you, AC Wraith. Some of the stuff I've seen about it, I'm like, you know what? I haven't done Animal Crossing in a while, but I wouldn't mind getting back into it with that. I'm sure it'll end up the same way that Animal Crossing ended up for me, which is, you know, put some time in it and then I'm done. But yeah, it's possible to get back in it for that. So yeah, we got more news on the way and more video game discussion coming up as well. We got music right here from Funko Fusion. That's that Funko Pop game that they made, where you're playing as all the little Funko characters. The licensing on that must have... Well, I guess they owned the Funko versions of those likenesses,
mm-hmm.
so they could use those without having to license that back out, because they owned that.
I own a facsimile of a facsimile of something based on reality.
Kinda, yeah. Kinda, that's how it works. This is called Wonderworks Toy Factory. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This is music from The Plucky Squire. The track, I don't know if I'm spoiling anything, but the track is called A Very Happy Ending. Which, you know, for some of these games could be the beginning of the game. Because sometimes games start you off with everything you need and then take everything away from you before you play the game.
Chaos Legion comes to mind when I think about that.
And he's,
you ever heard of that one?
That and Darksiders. What's the one? Darksiders,
the one with Death, Four Horsemen.
The Four Horsemen. Yeah.
I want to say Darksiders.
Is it Darksiders?
Okay. I think so.
Yeah. Well, that one was too. You played through this first opening level, and it's like you are overpowered.
Yeah, you are OP,
and it's great. And then everything is stripped from you, and you have to become. You spend the entire game becoming OP again.
Yeah. This is your potential. Now go earn it.
I know. And I hate that. It was like in...
That's probably why it's not done too often. Because that's like... Chaos Legion was, I want to say, early aughts, 90 or 90-something. I mean, it was a long time ago. But I still remember that aspect of being OP at the beginning and then losing everything at the beginning of the game.
I know. Infamous Second Son had something like that, where you had a taste of your power and then it was taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to build it back up.
Build it back, yeah.
My problem with those games is, yes, we get a taste of being godlike,
mm-hmm.
and that's fun. And I don't mind the aspect of, well, we're going to remove that from you and you have to build it all back up.
Right.
I don't necessarily mind that aspect. I don't like that mechanic. But it's mainly the reason I mainly don't like that mechanic is because they never give you enough time after you've gone through the entire game to enjoy your overpoweredness.
Because it's not most likely going to give you
because when you get it
at the final boss.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got the final boss and it's done. And once you beat it, it's done. Once you beat it, sure, you can keep all that power and then either finish up side quests if you want to,
mm-hmm.
or roam around the area with your high poweredness, but then it, all your the problem with that is there's no challenge to it.
Yeah.
Because then you've just got, you know, grunts that you can kill and it's not really a problem at all to do. Or let's say you have saved some side quests. For me, that's number one, not how I play games. I am going through it with a fine-tooth comb, making sure everything is done before I get to the end.
Yeah.
Because my drive to do anything after a game is finished is diminished quickly once I've beaten the game.
So you're not really a new game plus guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. No, maybe on games that offer a new game plus, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are games that actually let you do that. Second Son and Infamous, I don't remember them letting you do that. I'm thinking of them specifically because there were some really cool powers you get at the end. But once you're done, you're done. Mm. It's like I've lost the drive to go through and do the rest of the stuff, you know. And sometimes New Game Plus doesn't necessarily mean you get to keep all those powers. Yes, some of your stats increase, but if the story is you lose this and you have to get it all back by going through the game, you're still going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Your experience level might be higher. Your tree for that thing might be complete. Your skill tree for that thing might be complete. But you're still stuck. I think Spider-Man offered a new game plus. I'd have to go back and see that.
I think it did.
But a lot of times, if I've gone through a game, let's look at Spider-Man, for example.
Okay.
Spider-Man has a new game plus, but when I went through that thing and I did every possible thing I could in the game, and then I did a bunch of the expansion stuff, or at least tried to, I didn't
have to do that, by the way.
Yeah, I really didn't feel like starting new game plus again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have put this many hours into you right now, and I've experienced this game. I don't need to go back and do it again in a new game plus. I've already done it. Now, if there's, I don't know, maybe there's an incentive to it. I'm not sure. Because it's a game I haven't tried New Game Plus with to see, like, do I keep all of the gadgets that I've already gotten through the game? Do I get to keep, you know, sometimes you go through the game one time and you don't have enough resources to get everything. And so you go through it again to get the resources to get everything. You know what I mean?
Was Arkham like that?
No.
No? Okay.
But I feel like a lot of games that you play would be like that. Possibly Bloodborne, possibly a lot of From Software games, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, some things are impossible to upgrade unless you do go through the game.
A second time, yeah.
I think the playthrough of Bloodborne, you get a Titanite slab. This is the item you need to make your weapon max out to plus 10. You can get everything you need to get to plus 9.
In the
first run. But when that last piece is gotten, I think that's the only one per run through.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, if you want to get a second weapon up to max level, you're going to have to run through it again. A third weapon, run through it again. And lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was thinking Arkham because I don't think I did get every perk. I don't think I did. But I was wondering if I had to go through it again to max everything out, so to speak.
Yeah, I want to say Arkham. I feel like Arkham Knight does have a new game plus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah,
that it has a new game plus.
I think Spider-Man.
Spider-Man does as well.
Spider-Man does. Yeah,
it absolutely does. I need to. You know what? I've never done a new game plus before, and I need to look into doing that
for Spider-Man.
I would probably do. I don't know if I'd do Arkham Knight or not. There are parts of Arkham Knight that I don't. That's the other thing. Game overall might be good, but there's parts where it's like, you know what? I don't ever want to go through that again. Like, I will play it up to that point, and then it's like, okay, I'm done, because I do not want to do that again. And I can't remember what
Dead Space.
Well, I was thinking more of the Arkham Knight thing, mm-hmm. which is the third one we're talking about, the Batman, the third one. Some of those Riddler challenges,
annoying.
Driving the Batmobile through the track and stuff. I don't. Some of those, I'm glad I don't ever have to do again.
Mm-hmm.
you know, trying to get it in the under the time that you need to do it in order to get the trial.
A time trial in the sewer where you have to drive on the side of the wall, up the wall, around the thing, all types of speed racer type stuff that you have to get to the end of that thing, and you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to try again.
Yeah, there's aspects to it, man, I just do not want to go through again.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is where it's like, that deters me from starting a new game plus. Because I just don't want to face it. So, that's me. That's not everybody. That's me, though. All right, let's go back to our news here. What do we have? Let's see, we talked about Tony Hawk. Looking through. There was a lot of news, man. There was not a lot of news to talk about. The BAFTAs, or at least the BAFTA Game Awards, were announced. I say that. I think it's the nominees were announced. Yeah. Here's your best game nominees for the BAFTAs. Balatro, Black Myth Wukong, Helldivers 2, Legend of Zelda, Echoes of Wisdom. Thank Goodness You're Here, which is very British. And these are British awards.
Okay.
The BAFTAs are.
Okay.
And Astrobot for Best Game.
Yeah, because some of those titles I never heard of, so.
Debut game, Animal Well, Balatro, Pacific Drive, Plucky Squire, which we just did music for.
Right.
Tales of Kinzera Zao, and also Thank Goodness You're Here, which is, again, British. And, in fact, they have a category for Best British Game.
Okay.
The nominations are A Highland Song, Lego Horizon Adventures, which I guess is made by a British company there, mm-hmm. Paper Trail, Hellblade 2, Still Wakes the Deep, and Thank Goodness You're Here.
I hear Paper Trail, I think of something like Papers, Please, or some investigative type thing going on there.
If I remember right, Paper Trail is a nice little cutesy game where you can fold the paper to make different paths for the characters on the screen.
Oh, okay. So an environment manipulation type thing.
Puzzle.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. It's one of those, you know, let's say there's a gap in the bridge, but if you fold the paper a certain way, the bridge becomes whole and that
yeah.
character can then cross it sort of thing.
Okay.
It's kind of like, remember the old foldy pages in the back of Mad Magazine?
Yeah.
Very much like that. So, yeah, I think I have that on PC. I believe I do. So, yeah, we got Evolving Game, Multiplayer Game, Family Game, Game Beyond Entertainment, Game Design, Narrative, Performer in a Leading Role, Performer in a Supporting Role, Animation, Artistic Achievement, Audio Achievement, Music, New IP, that's a good award. It's got New IP. Animal Well, Balatro, Black Myth Wukong, Thank Goodness You're Here, Still Wakes the Deep, and Metaphor ReFantazio. I thought Metaphor, it's set in a universe, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like JRPG. Some like
I thought it was in like the Persona universe.
Yeah, I think about Persona when I see images of it.
Yeah,
but,
I don't follow enough to know. So, yeah,
that was in the new IP.
Yeah,
section. Okay.
Yeah, they have an award for best new IP.
Okay,
which is really kind of cool that they do that. When are the BAFTAs? They'll be announced April the 8th. So we still got a while to go before that comes around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think we're getting a Last of Us 3. Neil Druckmann said, "Don't bet on it." I won't go much further than that. But honestly, you don't need a Last of Us 3. You're fine.
It would be overreaching at this point, wouldn't it?
I think it would. If you want to let the television series play out through past whatever, then fine. You let them do that.
Yeah.
But game-wise, I think you're fine. You're working on something else now, which will likely get turned into another a different medium as far as like television or movie or something like that. I've already forgotten what the game was. But yeah.
Because you think about it, where can you go from there? when you watch the, you've seen the ending of Last of Us 2 in the game.
Yeah.
Where can they possibly go from there?
Exactly. It's kind of the way I feel about God of War. God of War, the 2019, and God of War Ragnarok.
Right.
Those two fit in such a way, especially just play them back to back, because they just complement each other so well. And the way that the second one ends feels complete.
Yeah.
It absolutely feels complete. It feels like we don't need to go further with this. If you want to throw him into a different setting, if you want to say, well, he left, Kratos, left the whatever. Why can't I think of where the Vikings come from? Anyway, he's left there and moved in. I think I heard rumor of something about wanting to get into the Egyptian gods. Because he started with Greek and then he went to Norse.
Greek, Norse, yeah.
And I think the next one was, I think there was rumor that they wanted to have it somehow with the Egyptian gods on that one. Possibly. So yeah, I could see you just up and make it a new series where now he's in Egypt or whatever.
Okay, see, I'm thinking about the transition between the Greek to Norse. He was just away for a while. He just did what he did to the original Greek gods, and then what, he just disappeared? No, they just
They explain it in the game.
Yeah.
You know, like after he did whatever he did, and what was it, God of War 3, I guess?
Yeah.
Was that the last one? After he did what he did, it talks about how he felt a failure. He felt great regret and remorse, and he felt a lot of shame or something like that.
Yeah, what did all this revenge get me in the end?
Right, yeah. Really. And so he was like, I'm leaving, going.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it still found him.
Yeah. So it'll be another lather, rinse, repeat with the
What's to say he didn't do the same thing? Exactly. It's like, you know what? It's enough. I'm moving again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to another place where there's a lot of gods. Egypt sounds really nice. Mm. Oh, God, not this again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just go somewhere where there's, like, you know, none of that. Go. I don't think Canada has myths or legends other than, like, Bigfoot or something. Even the States, same thing. That's it. You'd stay away from places that have all these, you know, all these
deities. Yeah, just
dangerous gods and stuff.
But, yeah, it ended on a good note. Let it end there. Let it end.
Yeah.
You know? But upper management will say, we need another one because we don't want to make something new. We want to go with what works. So bring it out again.
Will there be a Last of Us 3? I'm almost positive there will be. What I remember, and I've told the story before with talking to Amy, was, you know, I would meet her a few times and I met her one time and I said, hey, you working on another Uncharted? Because that hadn't been announced or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what do you think? And she said it with a tone of like, you know what they're making me do. You know, it was a tone of, I don't wanna, but I have to. So yeah, we're making another one of those things. Mm. You know, we love the characters. We love playing the games. Understand, though, when you're making these games, that is years and years and years of your life thrown into this one game.
Mm-hmm.
Takes you a couple of weeks to beat it. Takes them 4, 5, 6, 7 years to make it. From beginning of concept to research to writing the story, the dialogue, events.
Yeah, think about a movie, folks.
Yeah.
All that time for a 2-hour film. Or 3 hours.
Or, well, put it more into a perspective, not even just a movie. Go back to early 2000s Pixar and understand that they had to render all that and let the computer sit there and render every single frame of the film for days and days and days. Making those CG films, which we can make them probably a lot faster now than we could back then, even though it would still... You'd still probably be surprised by how long it takes. It takes a long time to make these things. And so once you're done with one, you wait a while and it's like, okay, I'm already working on the sequel. I'm sure that's great because you're into it. And then a third one comes around. And by the time you're done with that, you're like, boy, I'd really love to make something else. Nope. They want you to make a fourth one. Mm-hmm. You know? So there's that example.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the example of Rocksteady, where we get three Batman games, and then we're getting something else from Rocksteady, and it's not what we wanted, and all we say is, I wish they'd have just made another Batman game. It's hard to say. I hate to say that, because I tell you, I think about Amy every time, and I'm sure Neil has the same situation. Stop asking me about another Last of Us. I'm not doing it. It's done. You know? Just like she probably was like, stop asking me about Uncharted. It's being worked on. Yes. You know?
Yeah.
Speaking of Amy, by the way, we got a possible release date for her Marvel 1943 game, which we'd heard about, I think, last year. One of the voice actors says that we're still working, but we're planning on 2025. We're thinking like a Christmas situation. So that's one of the voice actors saying that. I can't be certain that he would know or that that date would even stick at this point. We are in the month of March. He's talking about a Christmas release. There are oodles of time for this to get delayed. So,
think it will be?
Yeah, I don't think Absolutely. It'll be released this year.
Absolutely.
I would not put money on that game getting released this year.
It's almost one of them sure bets.
It feels like it is.
If it's a AAA title, folks, it's getting delayed.
It feels like it is. And that game looked really, really good. Plus, it's a Marvel game. I mean, that's a true. Yeah, you're exactly right. They're going high concept with it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to, yeah. It's going to take a while to do that. So, but I'm looking forward to it. And you know, I should reach out to her, see if she wants to talk about it or anything like that. I don't know what she can say. Because, again, that quote we took from was from the voice actor, not her.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. The remake studio who worked on Until Dawn's remake have effectively closed. All the developers are now gone. So we'll add that to the headcount of game industry job losses for the year from January up until this point. That's something I think I'm going to do. I'm going to throw in the, you know how at the end of my show post I talk about how long it's been since we've had a Splinter Cell game?
Right.
I'm going to keep that count going because I would like to do that before we get a Splinter Cell game. But now I'm going through and I'm adding, you know, this is how many people lost their jobs this year in the gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
Which I put that there not because it's anything that you can do about it. You know, you can't look. This company folded likely because the game they made was crap, from what we understand, right?
They did not optimize that game at all, and I think there was a couple of changes here and there that had people scratching their heads. But yeah, for the most part, it was the look of it. I mean, it got to the point where people were saying, if you want to play Until Dawn, just play the original 2014-2015 release. Play that one, because what they did here was not too good.
It's because the team doesn't exist. What I'm reading here is that people were sharing bugs that they found in the game so that the team would be aware. The problem was there was no team anymore. In other words, they released the game and then released people from their jobs. So there was no one there to put in support after release.
So they put out the beta and they said, we're good enough, we're good enough, see you later.
That seems to be. Ballistic Moon, which is based in the UK, confirmed a round of redundancies last year, saying it had made the tough decision to significantly scale down our team to secure the future of our studio. However, a new report by Insider Gaming claims the studio quietly made a second round of redundancies towards the end of the year. According to publication sources, roughly 40 employees were let go in October, with the remaining staff kept on to provide post-launch support for the Until Dawn remake. However, it's claimed these developers, equating to around 20 employees, lost their jobs in December, leaving only the studio's founders and possibly a handful of employees at most. The entire PR, marketing, and development teams are gone. A source told the publication people are sharing bugs they found in the game to make the team aware, but there's no one working on patch support for the game anymore.
Just play the one from 2014, 2015. Yeah. Goodness. I didn't know it was that fast. Did they?
I mean, a lot of games do release and then they cut a lot of people. Like, as soon as the game's out, it's okay. Like, okay, you guys are gone. Because they don't want to pay them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually on contract anyway. It's not necessarily people who were.
But you at least check the product to see if it's worthwhile before doing that.
Yeah. You keep them around, or you keep around the. What am I trying to think of? The not necessarily the developers.
Quality control or something.
Yeah. People like that. You keep it around a team that is dedicated to patching.
Yeah.
You know, fixing bugs, patching the problems. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the other people who, like, worked on animations, who were hired contractually and said, hey, we're going to bring you on for 6 months until this game completes. So you can help with the coding, you can help with the animation, you can help with all this stuff. And then when that contract's over with, we let you go. And that contract usually ends at the time of release,
mm-hmm.
unless you position yourself to where it's like, okay, you're going to cut me out of that contract, but then you're going to bring me on to run support. You know, your title changes.
Yeah.
You move into a different position. So, I mean, there's aspects of that working, but from what we're understanding here, we can't cover that.
Yeah. You looked at that, said, good enough, get everybody out of here.
That, or we don't have enough money. You know, the game didn't mm-hmm. sell well, or we mismanaged our money. We can't keep you on. Therefore, we can't fix the problems that are going to arise.
Yeah. Wow. Well.
How not to do things. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back into the news here again. Music here from Space Marine 2. The name of this track is called Onslaught, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back in to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Caravan Sandwich. I played the demo. It was kind of cool. I was interested in it, but I haven't bought it yet. So I should say, okay, so we started this game talking about local basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that ESPN does. I want to say it's twice a year. I always thought it was on April Fool's Day, but it's not. Apparently it is today. Because obviously today is the 8th, March the 8th. They one of their channels, I don't know which one this is, but one of their channels has become ESPN 8, the Ocho, and all day they show off-the-wall competitions, like just random. Are you looking for a schedule?
Yeah, I was looking for a schedule. I was seeing some of the competitions they have on there sometimes, yeah.
They have... what have they done?
Let's see. 8 of the wackiest, most unknown, and outright random events to be shown. The Mullet Championships.
Right now, they're doing cornhole.
Yeah. Tech ball, one wheel, Excel World Championship, slippery stairs.
Slippery stairs is fun to watch. It's basically stairs that are full of just, that are loaded down with soap.
Hmm.
And people have to climb up them.
Okay. So it's like one of those.
It looks like one of those Japanese game shows. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Takeshi's Castle or whatever that is.
Omega Ball, Chase Tag, Stein Holding. I don't know what that is.
It's how many? Okay, Stein.
Stein holders are each given a full 1 liter beer stein and have to hold it out with a straight arm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That. Oh, I can see how that's a problem.
Yeah. You ever held an axe at the base and you hold your arm out? You
know? But I've seen those beer stein girls at Oktoberfest like 15 steins in one go.
Do they keep adding to it, or do you just hang on with that one?
No, I mean, I'm just talking about the Oktoberfest folks that get a handful, and then the bartender just adds a little more on there, and she could grip them all and carry them to the table.
Yeah, we say don't mess with the
beer stein girls there. No,
basically that upper arm strength's amazing. Yeah. I love when they do this. I absolutely love when they do this. It's not, I mean, everything they show is not great. There was breakdancing a minute ago, and that's fine. But I love the more kind of quirky stuff where it is. The pogo stick championship, the slippery stairs, like you mentioned, disc golf, if that's the case. There's just a lot that they have, and So, anyway, back to the news. Forgive. Just wanted to let people to be aware that the Ocho is going on today. I love when they do the Ocho; it's fantastic. You'll see competitions you had no idea actually existed. Speaking of nothing in particular, honestly, Acclaim, a studio we thought was dead, is now back. And let's see, what do they have? What happened?
It's like a flagging, bunch of folks got together, right?
Yeah, flagging sales forced the company to declare bankruptcy back in 2004, but now it's back, in name at least. And it's aiming to support indie developers and reignite classic franchises. Acclaim will provide much-needed resources such as funding, marketing, and PR support, giving independent studios the opportunity to bring their creative visions to a broad audience. One of the key goals for the relaunch of Acclaim is to resurrect and revitalize its beloved portfolio of classic IP enjoyed for years by millions of players. We'll throw out some of them IPs for me to remember. You know who started on Acclaim?
Is that
Burnout?
Oh, okay.
Before EA bought them, before EA bought the Burnout license, Burnout 1 and Burnout 2 were on Acclaim.
Okay.
Wasn't Mortal Kombat on Acclaim? Console versions?
Midway. Which one was it? I think it was Saturn. Sega Genesis version, I think, was Acclaim.
I think Super Nintendo was Acclaim as well.
Let's see.
For the home versions.
Yeah.
Because you had to input a code as the Acclaim logo was sliding across the screen, and it would unlock, like, Goro Playable or something like that. I don't know what it was.
I remember the blood code.
Maybe it was the blood code as it's going across the screen. Yeah, down, up, left, left.
ARD.
AR.
Yeah.
Or A right down.
Yeah. Let's see. Come on.
I know Dave's listening right now. I will tell you, Dave, that one of the partners for this Acclaim relaunch is Jeff Jarrett. And I will tell you it is that Jeff Jarrett. JeffJarrett.
Double J.
Yeah.
The only Jeff Jarrett I would know about is...
Likely.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, that guy. Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to see
Midway. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see some of the. Oh, you just see Midway on that?
All I see is Midway on this.
Huh. I could have sworn.
Probably is. Maybe I'm seeing the wrong thing here.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Because I remember playing. Ow.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, there's Acclaim. Yeah, Acclaim Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Acclaim Mortal Kombat.
Acclaim Mortal Kombat. Jeez. Yeah, it says publishers were Midway Games, Acclaim Games, and Tectoy. Yeah. And but that, you know, I'm looking at Mortal Kombat as a whole rather than the. There it is.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 2 on the Super NES was published by Acclaim.
Yeah.
Developed by Midway, published by Acclaim. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I mean, I hope. Mm-hmm. I'm going back and looking at some more news here, which we really don't have. Oh man. Okay. I don't know if it's worth talking about tariffs. Because they seem to come and go. One day there's tariffs, one day there's not. One day there's tariffs, one day there's not. Tariffs on Mexico, tariffs on Canada, tariffs on China, I think, those are stuck. Those are going to happen. Those are done. He's not backing off on those. But the Mexico and the Canada thing come and go. The China one doesn't seem to go away. Which, understand, that's going to make your... So anyway, I'm going to look at this article here. Because currently most video game discs are produced in Mexico, which I did not know that. But most of the video game discs are produced in Mexico. So whatever game discs are still printed and shipped out will likely cost more to buy due to a newly activated 25% tariff, which has now, I think, have been put on hold for another 30 days, but who knows. Remember that publishers and other companies are going to pass the cost of those tariffs on to consumers. So if you're thinking, well, I'll just buy games digitally to avoid the price increase. That's more about what this article is about. Publishers would either raise prices on digital games to reach parity with the higher cost of physical games, or, as mentioned already, simply give up entirely on producing and selling discs because of the price that they would be. Which, let's go back a few months or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about GTA 6 being $100.
Yeah.
While we thought that might just be greedy because, you know, it's GTA 6, people are going to pay the money for it, it actually might be $100 because that's what it's going to cost after tariffs and everything else. It might increase the mm-hmm. price of that because of that. I don't know. But the option was like, okay, well, I'll just skip around that and do the digital stuff. Mm-hmm. Because why would digital wouldn't have a tariff on it, would it? Yes. Yes, it could. The way these games are made, the way these consoles are made, but the way the games are made, the way they outsource or the way they bring in people to contract or when they have to buy equipment in order to run some of the stuff, you're incurring costs
mm-hmm.
that then kind of need to be passed on to, well, the consumer, unfortunately. So there's a possibility that your digital releases will also increase. And, of course, the other thing here, as they said, was that they want to reach the parity with the discs and what they cost as well. Because, again, if you have two options for people to obtain your product, more than likely, if they're able to, they're always going to go with the cheaper option. Which means you'll be making these discs and you'll be losing money on it because nobody's buying those. They're buying your digital product. So if you bring it up to pair or to parity with that, are people buying the discs? Are people buying the digital? There's no difference. And so you're going to make money either way. Because if your price on your digital is the same price as your disc, but people aren't buying the discs, you're still making that back. Even though the digital price should be lower, you've tacked on more because the disc price of the discs are the same or are higher.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's tough to go through. but yeah, it's not necessarily going to be the case that the digital copies will be cheaper. Consoles are also likely to be impacted by the tariffs. On March 4th, a day after the China tariff became active, it was posted that despite some mitigation efforts, 75% of consoles are produced and imported from China. These consoles will be hit by the tariffs and will likely cost more to buy in the United States. It's also likely that fewer will be produced, which could lead to supply shortages. And as reported in January, the tariffs could see the prices of consoles jump dramatically. A Switch could potentially go from what it is currently, about $300, to $400. A PS5 Pro goes from $700, which is already outrageous for the console, to $1,000. The Switch 2, which we don't know what that price tag is going to be, it is likely to get slapped with a higher-than-expected price tag due to those tariffs. Whenever the Switch 2 gets released, we don't know. So, yeah, gamers, you're going to be paying more for your games. We're kind of always used to that, but I don't think you're going to be used to it in this type of regard. I know that I remember, obviously it was last minute administration. It was early in Biden's administration. He did something, and I can't remember what it was. I think it was his. It could have been late in Trump's administration previous. Anyway, there was it the CHIPS Act? It may have been the CHIPS Act. I can't remember. But I do remember like graphics cards and things like that becoming much more expensive and harder to get.
The CHIPS and Science Act?
It may have been that. I don't remember. I don't remember. I just remember it happening when I was thinking, hey, let me look into buying some PC components.
Let's see, the CHIPS and Science Act is a U.S. federal statute enacted by the 117th U.S. Congress and signed into law by President Biden on August 9th of 2022. The act authorizes roughly $280 billion in new funding to boost domestic research and manufacturing of semiconductors in the U.S. Does that sound familiar? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. No, I don't think that was it.
Okay.
It's the time frame sounds right, because I swear he put some tariffs on the chips out of China, because he wanted the ones here to be, he wanted the United States to start making them. I could be misremembering. I just remember looking at costs of like getting a new graphics card or new hard drives or something like that. And it's just like, oh God, this is ridiculous. And understand that price, regardless of tariffs, those prices haven't come down at all. It doesn't matter what kind of tariffs you throw. Those graphics cards are ridiculously expensive. And they're not because of anything the government's doing. It's because of, I'm going to say it's because of the greed of the company. I really feel that way with NVIDIA. I absolutely feel that way. When I look at a 5090 costing $1,300 and you can't find one at all to buy. And so then, you know, you see the third-party ones selling for even higher than that. And you can't find those to buy, creating this demand or whatever. I don't understand it.
I was about to say supply and demand.
PC Gamer did a piece, and I got to pay attention to the time because I'm getting a little bit impassioned about this. And I should have marked it. I read the piece this week or something. AMD launched a new graphics card this week, too. Pretty good price. $700. And I'm pretty sure you're laughing at me calling that a pretty good price, but when the rest of the prices are in the four-digit range, seeing a price that's, you know, three digits and a good three digits under that four, it's good. That feels affordable, oddly enough.
And the performance is right up there?
I tried to find out what the performance was. The performance was... It's not something I would get. It's not enough for me to make the jump from where I've got to what that qualifies. It would be a smaller step. It would be a step up. It just wouldn't be worth the money to step up that little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I did go through there and I was looking at like benchmarks and things like that on some of the games just to see kind of where it fell. And I'm just like, man, no. There's a lot of hype for it because for a lot of people it will be good. But it's not for me.
So if someone's making a huge jump.
Yeah, but PC Gamer did an article on it saying that we don't deserve this. And it talked about the fact that we, as a community, being PC enthusiasts, being PC gamers, we who have built these companies from the money that we have paid them for their stuff are now seemingly taking advantage of that, you know? He was trying to buy one of those AMD cards. He thought it was going to be easy to do. In less than a minute, it was sold out, and he didn't get it. He eventually opted paying extra for another card Actually, no. He tried to pay extra for another card that another website had, went through the whole checkout process. It said he was done, and he went back to sleep, woke up, and realized his order had been canceled because they had run out of stock. And he just said, we don't deserve this. You know, we don't, this, we deserve it where it can be made available, or we can...
How many of those things was bought by scalpers?
We don't know. That's the other problem. We don't know. Scalpers get into those things too, and it's just...
But scalpers and website bots and...
Like, we may stuff, deserve yeah. better than this, but I don't know necessarily what that solution is.
Yeah.
Other than stop releasing minimal amounts of your cards. I specifically point to NVIDIA on this, because I swear they do paper launches. Which is where it's hype, but we're only releasing a very small amount. And everybody tries to go and buy them online. They get sold out. They think maybe scalpers picked them up. But if you only had a few to begin with, mm-hmm. likely one per model, it's not scalpers. Somebody got really lucky and got that one. And now they're out. And then you wait for them to get replenished with another, like, one. It's just ridiculous. So I don't necessarily know what the answer to that is, how to fix that problem, other than make a whole bunch of them before you release it. I suppose you could look at a phone release. A whole bunch more people buy phones than they do graphics cards. Mm-hmm. When they release, on release date, mm-hmm. whole bunch more people buy phones than they do graphics cards. And there used to be a time where these would be selling out at you know, when the thing went live for you to buy.
Yeah, lines out the door type thing, yes.
But for the most part, from what I can remember recently, and I don't know how recent it is, but I don't hear about that anymore. Let me put it that way. I don't hear about them selling out. I hear about them, oh, did you want one? Yeah, you can get it on the day it releases. You don't have to wait in line. You can get it that day. I don't see lines for things anymore. Of our tech, anyway, is what I mean. Do I see lines for Black Friday? Sure, that's fine. Do I see lines for, you know, I don't know. I don't see lines much anymore when it comes to our hobby.
Shopping online.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Now, if I was near a micro center, I might see lines. But nobody lines up at Best Buy anymore that I know of. They line up online to get a product. So, yeah, I don't know. It was a really good article, by the way. It was from PC Gamer, and it was called We Deserve Better Than This. So go look for that. If you're a PC enthusiast, if you're looking to buy, you know, do PC stuff.
One thing I can come up with is find an alternative, something else. But what else is there?
I don't know. Sign up sheet, something like that. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, Micro Center Ninja Bibs is theirs. Micro Center still does lineups. I still see pictures of the lineups for those, for graphics cards. And he said they got shafted on the 50 series cards. Everybody did, man. I don't think there was a single retailer who didn't sell out within, 30 minutes of opening your doors?
You should have went taken in the back by the staff.
Likely not. It's likely one of those things where it's heavily monitored as to what they have because there is so few of them. Yeah, man, it's ridiculous. I hate it. It feels like it's generating demand, you know?
Possibly.
It's like people really want... Man, not generating demand, though.
If someone wants something bad enough, how much are they willing to pay for it? You've seen some of them auctions on eBay and things of that nature.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, so...
I was there one time with the PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had a PlayStation 3 and I was ready to sell it. And I was doing the whole eBay thing with my username on a piece of paper in front of the thing. I think I tried to sell it. And I don't think it worked. I can't remember. I can't remember. Either I went through with it but didn't actually do the sale, or I was prepped to do it and then I decided not to. I decided to keep it. I can't remember what I did, but
look, man,
I tried to cash in on it, and then I changed my mind on it because I eventually ended up with, you know, one of the OG PS3s.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I was because I sold it on eBay. I think I kept it.
Yeah. I mean, every year there's some hot new item or something that people know it's going to be hot. It's going to be in demand, and someone's going to get like three or four of them. Get three, sell two. That's
I remember
going on.
God, I remember seeing people with trunks full of like Wii U's or Switches or whatever because they went and they bought a ton because they felt like they could flip them.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff. I hate that. I hate that. And I guess you'd probably run into the same thing. People just buying up as much stock as they can just so they can flip it.
That dude during COVID who bought all the hand sanitizer. Remember that guy?
Didn't he get some punishment out of that?
The police,
little knock on the door there, buddy. Yeah. Like we're here to search. So
yeah.
No, bad all the way around. Folks, thank you so much for joining us for the show. I want you to have a great night, great week. For us here in the States, we got to move clocks. I say for us here in the States, barring a few, I think. We got to move clocks tonight. So you know, keep that in mind. But here we go. This is music from Astrobot. I'm going to always highlight the music from Astrobot because it is so damn good. This is called Trapped in Time. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next Saturday.